test that? Am I on now? Okay. I was thinking that it was up and not down. That's much where I want to go, up and not down. So I want to make sure that I get this right. And so we're kind of stepping into the realms of the anointing for the prophetic word of the Lord for this year, 2017. Brand new season. Welcome to your new day. You know, we've tried to put that on the sign, and every time you drive out, make sure you say, I'm taking my new day with me. Amen? Amen. And so there's a new day that's dawning, and it's called the hope of glory in Christ. Yes? Amen. All right. Okay, here we go. So how many people think that we should have a positive attitude? It does help. It does help. A positive attitude does help. If you get into negativity, that's a tough place to be, because negativity is going to take you to negative places where you don't need to go. And just noticing the Old Testament, it was quite negative. Same God, same Jesus, same Holy Spirit, but without the Savior of the world. But there was a type and shadow that was going on. Just think of how much blood was shed in the Old Testament. There's a lot of bloodshed. All of the ox, all of the sheep, all of the lambs, and really what it was saying, there isn't enough blood on planet Earth to take the sins of the world away from you or me. And so God went to excess to say, hey, there's not enough blood that will do what the blood of Jesus did on the cross, 2000, just think of that. All that blood, I sometimes in my mind's eye, I'm going, what a waste. What a waste. Look, just think of all them, that would be how man thinks. But the fact is, the blood, there isn't any blood that can take the place of the blood of Jesus. And the power that's in the blood and the strength that's in the blood can take a sinner man, a sinner woman, out of any other areas of their lives and bring them to a place that's above and not beneath. Not even on a level, you go above. In the fact, the Bible says that you are seated with him in heavenly places, right? Because the blood has that type of power. Now, I remember, and I'm not going to get into a testimony, I would like to tell you my testimony that isn't my testimony. It's the sin that I was in. I'd like to tell you all of the rotten, dirty things that I was involved in. But it wouldn't glorify anyone, and certainly not me. But you know what? Out of all of that, one day, a Christ that cared for me stepped out of the pages of a Bible, a book, and changed my life forever. And that's good news. That's good news. But you know, the same God, wherever we're at, it didn't happen one time. I find out it's happening every day. Great is his faithfulness. Great is his mercy. Great is his never-ending love for us. Now, I don't know, sometimes reading the Old Testament, I have a hard time getting that out of that. But the fact is, God was a good God. God was a loving God. The same God that created Jesus way back then, that was the same God that created Jesus so that we could have redemption. Thank God for redemption. Thank God for a new life. Thank God that we have a different spirit on the inside of us. Amen? It's the Spirit of Christ. And just looking at this great spirit, it's in Numbers 14:24, talking about a man named Caleb. We find out that in 24 it says, but my servant Caleb, because he had a fully, or followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. So we find out that Caleb was obedient. He did what was needing to be done. And it says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, has followed me fully, and I will bring into the land, or bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. What land did we inherit? The promised land, of course, yeah. I would say heavenly places. New Testament, Old Testament was the promised land, Canaan land. But we are in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That's our inheritance. Now, can you get much higher than that? Above and beyond? You see, and the word of the Lord came to the body of Christ, not just to us, but there's an above and there's a beyond that God wants us to grab a hold of. And I really believe it has to do with this different spirit. Now, I understand the spirit that I used to walk in disobedience. You know, the New Testament calls it disobedience. I understood that the Old Testament did not have the ability to redeem mankind back onto God. Only the New Testament, only Jesus had that. So through the whole Old Testament, he was drawing a picture, showing us that the destruction of sin leads to death. But we don't have to stay there, do we? Man, the first day that I believed, the second day that I believed, 3 months later that I believed, 1 year later that I believed, and then the miracle started happening. 1, 2, 3, because I was believing onto Christ, and he began to change everything around me. Isn't that good? And yet Israel, even in all of its strength in the Old Testament, he said, if you would do this, and this was a covenant that he made, and you'd be obedient to it, then you will walk and you will eat of the fruit of the land. But they couldn't do it. It was impossible. And that's what the prophets were talking about. That was what the lawgivers, Moses as the lawgiver, he gave us all of those things that were impossible for us to achieve, so that we come to humility. We come to a place, I have to humble myself. I don't want to live in humiliation. You want to live there? Man, let's humiliate each other for the next 40 years. No, that's a place of pride. That's a place of trying to do something on your own when we can't do it. But here we are. We can do it in Christ Jesus. Amen. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And we find out that different spirit when we start talking, when we start identifying, that's our identification. That is our game changer. We start changing everything around us. Sandra, she was talking with me this morning. I woke up and I went to a couple of scriptures, and she woke up and I couldn't find her, so I went down into the office, and here she was. She was writing on scriptures. And we began to talk to each other, and it was just like the same spirit that she was in, I was in. It was the Spirit of the Lord. And the very things, now it was different scriptures, but it was the very thing that we were both talking about. You know, the Bible's pretty big. And so those scriptures began to ring out. And you know, you get confirmation, that is fun. Yeah. I mean, you having a good time with confirmation, that is fun. So that's really where we were at. So the Spirit of the Lord that is on the inside of us is in my wife, Sandra, and it's in me, it is in you, and we begin to grab a hold of, okay, I've got a dynamic spirit on the inside of me. Ah, I tell you what, things are changing around me. What kind of spirit do you have? Would God say that you have a different spirit to other people? Would your family say that you have a good spirit? Man, that was a good place to say, yes! That wasn't a place to say, no, I don't think my family would call, you know. And if you're struggling in that area, I'm sure Jesus could take care of it. So there is a place that we have to identify with a biblical understanding that we have been formed with a different spirit on the inside of us. That's why we can endure. We can be more than conquerors. We can look at a positive outlook on life. I mean, you take a look at what's going on with all these hurricanes. You take a look at what was going on in Las Vegas a week ago. You look at all those things, you better get a perspective, a overcoming perspective that God is in control. Instead of going back and saying, well, you know what, if we go into that land, they're going to kill every last one of us. And that was 10 to 2. But Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit. Do we have a different spirit? Yes. Yes, we have a different. Yes, we do. Hallelujah. When I woke up yesterday morning, I got up, and it was very, very early, and I come out, and I was in the dark, and it kind of reminded me of the movie, We Were Soldiers. Hallelujah. Of course, you never heard that movie before, and that's kind of my hero movie. But I remember them preparing their lives to go somewhere else, and they were with their families at that last night at the families, and there was one soldier that had a little baby and his wife, and they were laying there, and he was leaving in the morning. And each person that had this experience, they were going from family into war. They were waking up, and they're going to war. And if you watch the rest of the movie, it was, every time I look at that movie, I just weep and cry. I used to like to watch it myself. Sandra knows that. So I just going, hey, it was war. We're going to take something on. I think every day we should wake up with that type of anticipation that something's going to get done and the devil's not going to have his way in any way, shape, or form. And if I blew it yesterday, I'm not going to blow it today. There isn't any perfect soldier. There's just soldiers that are being made perfect. Amen. And that's the saints of God. There is no perfect saints. All we're doing is something greater, because greater is He that is in me. The greater one dwells in me. He lives in me. And if I will humble myself and say, God, show me the New Testament. Show me your power. You know, if we all got honest with ourselves, not with each other, that might come. You could find a friend that things that you're struggling with right now. I don't want to even go there. I really don't want to go there. But if you really got honest with each other, but first of all, getting honest with God. And you know, God forgives us. We know that, right? But do we forgive ourselves? And if we were not delivered from something, because of our time in the saddle, do we get forgiven from God, but we never forgive ourselves? You hearing what I'm saying? And if you don't get the deliverer, well, God's still the deliverer. You can go to God. You say, God, I need deliverance in this part. I need a place, Lord, where you can do something in me that only you can do in me. God. And you know what? We'd probably be even embarrassed saying, well, I remember preaching a message. It was called, it was in a Sunday school in Richwood. It was called the Black Snake. Okay? And I had an experience with the Black Snake deal that I was, we were actually in Thief River Falls. We lived in Detroit Lakes. And this Black Snake literally come out of me when I began to confess my faults to my brother and what I was feeling towards him. And when I spoke, the snake crawled out of me. It looked like a big old black bull snake. Woo! Okay, you know, and okay, I've been saved for probably about 6 months, and they put me in this class, and I was just telling them about an experience I had. You know, After that meeting, there was about 6 or 7 people that came up and said, I think I have the black snake. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're honest. You just become honest with yourself. And I think it's so important that we become honest, because honesty brings us to trustworthiness in God. And if we're trusting God, pretty soon things start changing all the way around us. Amen. So we find out that Caleb and Joshua had this great spirit. God described Caleb as one who had a different spirit. Comparing his character to the 10 men who went with Joshua and Caleb to spy out the promised land. So there was 10 others that were with Caleb and Joshua when they went to check this out. What were the reports of the other 10? Okay, do you think that Jesus wanted those 10 to get saved? Or were they saved? Well, I don't know. You see, the attitude they had was fear. It was doubt. It was unbelief. It was believing that they were intimidated by the enemy. They were frightened. This was not a good thing. But you see, Caleb and Joshua had this different spirit about them that just said, hey, I believe that I am going to go and we are going to conquer and we are going to destroy the enemy, whether it be the black snake, whether it be pouring a piece of concrete. We're in combat mode. Amen? And when we come out of the doors, when we come out, man, the devil says, uh-oh, they're awake. You know, that's kind of how we have to live in these days that we're in, because I don't know what's going to happen. I know what the Bible talks about end days, and I think we're in the end of the end days, but the fact is, how are we going to live in the end days? Will we live with a spirit that is filled with God's wisdom, understanding? Will we understand that faith has a voice, and it's yours? Wow. And anyway, so Caleb and Joshua and Caleb, when they went to spy out the land, other translations interpret the word different spirit as different attitude. You got a different attitude. Now, I know that Joseph, when he works with me, he knows that I got a different attitude around that concrete. You know? And the poor guy, you know, the first time, I'm hollering at him. I mean, the first time he ever poured concrete, I'm hollering at him. What does he know about concrete? Nothing. Right? But I'm on him. I'm on him hard. And Joseph, he going, okay. But the next time, I don't have to holler so much. But I'm in a mode that is, okay, we're going to get this done. And the greater, the faster we can get this done, the better off for all of us. Because concrete starts setting up, and man, it can get very, very ugly quickly. And so we are in war mode. And when we go into war mode, I have had more people come and forgive me for the way I get. And you know what? Sometimes I'll say, you can forgive me after the pour. But you see, we have to take our own personal identity in God. And we have to say, hey, this is who God made me. This is who I am. And you rise up and out of it. Maybe that's a natural job, and sometimes you have to use everything you possibly can do to make it through the day at Articat or at DigiKey or wherever you're working. You have to use all of these things in your life that you can be a game changer. And God's not only wanting a game changer for you, but he's wanting, when he looks at you and you look at him, it's over. When the eyes of Jesus get a hold and he glances and looks into your eyes, it's over. It's a done deal. Right. So that's why Jesus is so powerful. Right. Oh, they come to get him and to crucify him. They come, all the soldiers, and all of a sudden they come to him, and all the soldiers tipped over. What kind of power are we dealing with? The power from on high, above, and beyond. Something that is so mind-boggling great. I mean, like, end times, what's that? That's like another day at the circus. Well, the devil's so powerful. I tell you what, the devil might have a little power, but he has no power like the power of God. There is no power. There is no power like the name of Jesus. When you come in, you are walking in a different spirit, and I don't care what is going to come against you. You are going to succeed in what you're doing. Amen? Hallelujah. And so we find out there was a conquering attitude, a conquering spirit that was in Caleb and Joshua's life, and they didn't care. We're going to go up. We're going to take it. Do you understand what you're going up against? Do you understand all the soldiers? Get rid of your understanding and click into his understanding, and he'll change the whole deal, right? His understanding is he's merciful, he's kind, he's all good to us, and then he's going to put all our power in us. And I'm, he's going to say, hey, I'm going to show you a few things that I can do. And I can see a big smile. I don't know. Sometimes we have God as with a long beard and old as time itself and even beyond. But I think he just smiles a lot when his children get a hold of the truth of the kingdom of God. And them 10 spies are out there. And you're going to come at them every day. But we are men and women of a different spirit. And we wake up in the morning, the devil needs to know that, wow, the people of God are racing up and changing every situation. Amen? A conquering attitude. So with that comes a positive attitude. Negativity out, positive attitude in. Amen? Caleb and Joshua saw the possibilities or the opportunities that were ahead of them instead of focusing in on the negative. Now, it would be easy to focus in. The 10 did. But these two said, hey, I see that I need to have a very good positive attitude. And does positive attitude spread? Yeah, I mean, you get a positive attitude, you can about take anything on. He said, we can take this on. We can do this. We can fight. I remember being down in Texas, or down in Mexico when that windstorm come up. It was called the Diablo winds, devil winds. And you remember anyone was in Mexico when we were pouring the foundation for that gym? Man, people are dying or leaving one or the other. But we had a whole church down there, about 25 people, and this wind came up, and it was literally impossible to see each other, much less work. And the concrete trucks come, 10 of them at the same time. Scary, scary. And, of course, I did not speak good Spanish, which I still do not speak good Spanish, or little or no Spanish, but we knew about agua. And Stan Tweet, he'd start hollering, water. But also we knew about the dollar bill. And those truck drivers, I had Vicky Haverkamp, I said, Vicky, go over and give them some money. And they spoke perfect English then. They just wanted, I mean, it wasn't a lot of money. So I just had Vicky, I said, Vicky, you just keep on shelling out $5 bills. And I said, you know, I don't even care if it's $100 bills, let's get this thing done. Yeah. And all those 10 trucks, they come around, they added the water, but we had this crazy wind. I mean, it was the first day in Mexico, and I said, man, this is hell. I mean, I couldn't see and we had little young kids, eighth graders, and from here to Frank, we could not see each other. And the winds were wild. We were trying to play plastic. Could you imagine? But you know, when we come to conquer, Diablo winds left in Jesus' name. And within about 2 hours, we had this much dust or dirt over the whole slab. Now, you're supposed to finish this slab so it looks decent, you know? I mean, like, you know, I mean, nice slab, like this slab here. So what we did, we took and we scraped the dirt off this whole slab. And we happened to have a machine, which is unheard of, a trolling machine. But the guy had picked up a trolling machine, and we got water, and we started pouring it on the slab, and we just started just working it in. And the slab was saved. Now, we could have gave up on the winds. We could have said, well, you know what? This is too tough, man. We're done. No, we had that overcoming attitude that, no, we're not going to give up. This fight has just started. Now, I did not know, by looking at the fight, I would have said we're going to lose. But God showed up, and God began to move. He had that overcoming attitude. He had this positive attitude, you'll not lose if you don't quit. You'll not go to defeat. You'll not go to dishonor unless you think about quitting. And you see, that's the spirit, the different attitude that Caleb and Joshua had that made them a different person. And that's really what God's saying about us. The prophetic word for 2017 was lining up perfectly with Caleb and Joshua. it warned us. He said, you're not quite where you're supposed to be, so you need to get there. Going on, we find out Joshua and Caleb had faith towards God. Not towards the circumstance, not towards the storm, not towards anything. They had faith towards God. God, we're going to take this thing on. God, we're going to pray. And when you give us the okay, when we hear the wind in the mulberry trees, we'll know that the fight is on. I hear the wind in the mulberry trees, and I know that God is going to win. Hello! So when you hear the pine trees going, it's just God talking to you. Hallelujah. So they had complete trust in God to help them in their situation. They believed God would do as he had promised. When God promises something, he's not a man that he can lie. He said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to do anything. And I don't care what you're going to go through. I'm going to be with you to the ends of this earth. And, you know, hell or high water or earthquakes or terrorist attacks or hurricanes or tornadoes, whatever. I got a spirit on the inside of me that is going to be a fighter spirit against the enemy all the days of my life. Hallelujah. You know, this makes me feel good. I start feeling, you know, like when you get just a little bit aching in the back and in the front and on the sides, you're going, I need a touch from God. Hallelujah. A good shower works too, but hallelujah. And so then the fourth thing that Caleb and Joshua had, they had an awareness of God's presence. Okay? Awareness of God's presence. Have you ever left a church? Yeah, I feel a little presence. Or maybe you're in a praise and worship session with God in your truck, or you're like, wow, the presence of the Lord was so great. But if we don't take that continuously with us, we need the presence of God. When Caleb stepped out, he knew that God was there. When Joshua stepped out, he knew that God was there. And no enemy would be able to stop him. No stopping. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No stopping you. No stopping you. Whatever. We just got to keep on pressing on. And in the fifth thought, we found out that Joshua, Caleb had a wholeheartedness towards serving the Lord. A wholeheartedness. You know, it's easy to get into this deal that when nothing's going on, we go from church service to church service to church service, and we're being faithful to someone. But we have to have a different spirit. I'm faithful to the Lord. Well, I mean, my first year in Christ was so incredible because I had so much sin that was coming out of me. It was like a big old wash rag that was dirty water, and God was going like this, and no dirty water was coming out of me. Thank God for God wringing a guy out. Hallelujah. And so wholeheartedness is so important, isn't it? Do you believe that God would choose you to affect someone else's life? Do you really believe that? Are you sure you really believe that? Or are we going to go over this lesson one more time to make sure that you believe that? And if God can save you, then he can save someone else, I would expect, right? Or were you kind of a special breed of cat and you were doing everything real good and God needed to save me because I was such a good guy? Now, I was this person that if I told you about my past in testimony, I think everyone would clear out of here. It would be a disgrace, disgusting, things that people wouldn't even think about thinking about. How could you get so deprived in such a quick hurry? 4 years in the United States Navy will help. You know, I mean, man, we did things that we shouldn't even, or we thought about things that we shouldn't even thought about, and then we were trying to do them, and that was really stupid. But you know what? You don't hear that because that's who we really are. You know, when Dar says, well, we're just dirty, rotten sinners or scumbags for Jesus, the fact is, if you go to the Old Testament, them boys They couldn't do anything right. I mean, God was prophesying to them. God was sending, they killed the prophets. They wanted to get rid of Jeremiah. They wanted to kill him bad. They were always focusing. If we could kill this voice, then we won't have to feel so convicted. Right? I mean, kill the dude. Stop prophesying this stuff. But it was God. Say, hey, you keep on doing this, and you're breaking covenant, and you're not obeying, and pretty soon it got pretty, you just sick of hearing it. I can't serve God. I can't do what God needs to do. I can't do it because it's not in me to do it. And they just say, hey, let's just kill the prophet. Not a real good idea, but that was kind of, that was the one idea. And then, of course, because the Ten Commandments they could not fulfill, the prophets judging them they could not fulfill. Only through Christ and our humility and repentance to an almighty God that we are like a flea on a dog's back. David said that. He said, you're like a flea on a dog's back. How big, how do you feel now? Does it make you feel better? But you know what? We have to come to that place of repentance, brokenness beyond compare, because we're in the presence of an almighty God. And when he grabs our heart, pretty soon we're broken beyond belief. Maximum brokenness for maximum usefulness. You'll not be used until you're broken. Sometimes sin can come in and break you. You could say, well, was sin a instrument in the hand of God? Absolutely. You say, well, you know, I sinned last week. Well, big deal, I sinned this week. We're not getting into the idea that we're running around sinning, but the fact is, because we are of a different spirit, we go back and above and beyond. Worked the first time, it'll work the next time. It'll work when you're 40 years old in the Lord or 10 years old in the Lord. God, maximum brokenness. You'll feel like you've just been, and then you said, I'm not going back there again. I'm not going back there again. Well, where are you going to go? I'm going above and I'm going beyond, because Jesus Christ is my Savior. Hallelujah. So a wholeheartedness. You know, a wholeheartedness, man. I tell you, like I got up yesterday, man, I was like, come on. We're going to take this thing on. We got mud in the hole. We got, the place looked like you've been hit by a tornado. We got 100 re-rod, and we've got 30 yards of concrete. But you know what? There's something on the inside of us that just starts churning. And that spirit, that's the spirit of the Lord. Amen. Now, maybe I don't need to get so crazy on it. But I tell you, if I'm going out to monkey with the enemy, if I'm going, we were soldiers in Vietnam, and you're going out, and there's going to be a battle, and I'm not talking about the the Vietnam people, but we were going into battle. And I mean, it was a slaughter field. So don't think that you're going into a little picnic and you're going to have a hot dog. But thanks for the hot dogs, Jeff. We had a picnic on Thursday. I don't want to be getting on hot dogs. I like hot dogs. But what are we going to do with this message? Now, if you would do this, because if I was going to do it, I'd read the prophetic word for 2017 by Dave Wagner. And what we just went through in Numbers, those prophetic things and Numbers was the same thing, because you're not going to do it in yourself. Right. You're going to have to go above and beyond. You're going to have to, you know what, if you need to slap yourself in the face in public or not, whatever you need to do, do it to get it done. And the depths of sin, I've been in depths of sin. I know what sin is. And I know if God wouldn't have, if he would have not got a hold of me, man, it would have been just done, man. I'm not talking about a nice little testimony. Yeah, I got saved and Jesus come into my heart. And I'd like to tell you all the things I did before that. The wickedness, the twisted, perverted understanding that was living on the inside of me. No one was safe with that spirit. I don't want the spirit of the 10 that stayed back. Because if you think you can get through it yourself, you're badly mistaken. The 10 couldn't get back, and you know what? Jesus is looking for the 10. He's looking for the one that would repent and say, God, I repent. I'm a sinner. You know, and I don't want you to become slime balls for Jesus, but let's become people with a different spirit. And when we discover humility, not humiliation, we'll walk in the fullness of an almighty God. Five things that we can do, amen? Love you this morning. Love you. I just, in the Holy Spirit, I love you. There's nothing not to love. Because if I was that, I'm not that anymore, and I was never that. That wasn't my assignment. As Pastor Tom's been teaching on game changers, that's not your assignment. That's not who you are. Really, you think that's who you are? No. And to the depravity that I went to sin, that was not who I was. And 3 months later, God, after giving my life, God erased almost all of that. You know, so, wow, who can't be saved? Mary said I couldn't. But she started praying for me anyway, and she said, I'd like to see the hopeless cases get saved. Now she's been listening all these years to this hopeless case, trying to preach. You know, the first time I come up here, and they said, that guy can't even pray. And the reason is because all I did was saying, oh, Jesus. You know, I knew there was power in the name of Jesus, you know, and you were trying to catch up on who you're supposed to be as a minister, but just, oh, Jesus. And I don't know, man, if that isn't the most powerful name, of course it is, but I mean, maybe just, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Today, help me, Lord. God, reach down and pull me up in above and beyond. God, we trust in you. We know, Lord, that you're going to be doing great and wonderful things. And Lord, that we'd bring a host of people with us into the kingdom for such a time as this. We give you the glory and the honor. Would you please, why don't you just stand up? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Love you, Tom. Appreciate you big time. Father, we thank you for the Holy Ghost. We ask now, Lord, that you begin to work. And I shouldn't say begin, you've been working all along. God, that we would just acknowledge you today, each one of us. I'm not going to have an altar call. You come up and say a sinner's prayer. If you're feeling that, please do. After we dismiss, please do that. But I want us to get a hold of the God that's in heaven and is on earth through Christ Jesus our Lord. And the sin situations, that's the deep stuff in us, can we acknowledge it to him? Maybe it's a simple deal that you walk by a person that you were supposed to say something to about the Lord, and they died in between the time, who knows? I know Pastor Jim had an individual that if we wouldn't have went up and prayed, he died the next morning. And he accepted Jesus the night before. The doctors thought he was on drugs, which he probably had been. But the fact is, he gave his life to Jesus and went to heaven that day. That's how serious the different spirit is about. If we see the different. Everything else, you know, really doesn't make too much difference, and I'm not going to get down on the gods of this earth, but the fact is we got a God in heaven that cares for us much more than anything that we could ever ask for. Amen. He knows it.